Friends, let's pause for a moment of prayer, shall we? Kind Father, as we step into this moment, Lord, we just want to cry out how much we need you. Lord, we are hungry, hungry for your word. You have the words of life. So, Lord, I pray that we would just eat our fill from the bread of life this morning, that it would nourish our souls. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would show up in a mighty way today, and that you would do in our hearts and minds what I could never do on my own. So we just give you this time, God. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So if you were with us last Sunday, I was using as an illustration the golden age of sail. But 700 years before that, long before Magellan circumnavigated the globe, before Christopher Columbus sailed west into uncharted waters, the Vikings, especially bold adventurers like Leif Erikson, were exploring the frozen northern oceans, and eventually they discovered Greenland, Iceland, and even North America around 1000 AD. But think about this. This was long before they had discovered how to use a compass. This was before they had invented tools like the sextant and that kind of thing. This was even before anyone had drawn reliable charts to follow. And yet they were exploring this frozen Arctic circle. Of course, as you can imagine, they had to stay as close to land as they possibly could most of the time. But sometimes they were bold enough to venture out into the open sea. And when they did so, one of the tools that they would use, they would bring cages full of ravens on board their boat. And so what they would do is when they wanted to kind of check where they were, they would release one of these ravens up into the air. And so the raven could get a higher perspective, a better perspective than the men down at sea level. Plus, birds have much keener eyesight than humans do. And so if the raven just kind of circled around aimlessly, they would say, oh, we must still be out in the middle of the ocean. But if the raven suddenly took off in one direction, they would follow it because they realized their feather counselor had found some land. The bird could see what they could not see. He could see what they could not see. Well, friends, if you have a Bible this morning and would like to follow along, we are going to be studying the book of Proverbs chapter 1 this morning. Proverbs chapter 1. The words will be up on the screens. But for those of you that might be new this morning, or maybe you haven't been here in a while, we are in the midst of a series on biblical decision making that we're calling Charting the Course. You see, whenever we are faced with an important, heavy, big decision, and we're standing at the crossroads, we've said in this series there are kind of seven questions we should ask when faced with that big decision. Last week we looked at question number two, which is, what does the Bible say about this? And then this week, this Sunday, I'm actually going to skip ahead to question four, because honestly, I'm just not ready for question three. I need a little more time to get ready for that one. So let's just pretend. This morning we're going to talk about question four, which is this one right here. What do those whom I respect think? Have I talked about this decision with someone who is older, wiser, and more experienced than myself? Have I asked another more mature Christian for their perspective? Now, about this time last year, we did a sermon series on the book of Proverbs, and man, I love Proverbs. It is just so filled with so many little sayings and principles about how we can make wise decisions. Proverbs was written by King Solomon, whom Scripture calls the wisest man who ever lived. But one chapter I kind of skipped over last year was the very first chapter. So we're going to get into that chapter this morning, Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. A prudent life is just merely making one good, healthy choice after the next. For doing what is right and just and fair. for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So the older, wiser King Solomon is writing this book for his son, and essentially it's like, okay, son, I want you to sit down, get your pen and paper out, because I'm about to give you some advice. A lot of advice, actually, so get ready. And here's lesson number one. Are you ready for it, son? Listen to your mom and dad. We know some things. We've got some experience. You should take what we have to say seriously. So the biblical principle, and remember last week we were talking about the importance of finding principles in Scripture, but the principle that we can find here in Proverbs chapter 1 is this: wise decisions are made by wise counsel. Wise decisions are made by wise counsel. Church, one of the very best gifts that God has given us when it comes to this whole thing about decision making is simply each other. I don't know about you, but as I look back on my own journey, my own story, outside of the Bible, the way that God has spoken to me and guided me and helped me find the call that he has for my life has been through other people. Through pastors and professors and mentors and parents, and especially through my wife, Amber, who's about the wisest person I've ever met. On the other hand, how many times do we find ourselves in a place of regret from a hasty, poor decision, and we realize, oh man, I really wish I would have taken the time to talk to somebody before I jumped in and just went ahead and did it. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4 has a name for this type of person. Solomon calls them the simple. The simple. Now, please understand, the simple, that is different than the fool. It's different than the wicked person. Simple is not actually an insult. It does not mean you're unintelligent. It doesn't mean you have like a learning disability or something like that. No, this biblical term simply means someone who lacks experience. They're ignorant, they're young, they're naive. So I don't want to be the guy that quotes Taylor Swift in his sermons, but I think if she and I had coffee, we would disagree about most things. But I do agree with her song 15. In that song, she sings, when you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, you're going to believe him. And it's not because you're gullible. It's because you're 15. You're inexperienced. And this is why I require couples to do marriage counseling with me whenever I'm going to perform their wedding. It's not because I think they're not smart. It's not because I think they've got all kinds of problems. It's because they haven't been married before. And they don't know what they don't know. Now, me, on the other hand, I have been married for 22 years now, and I've read a lot of material on the subject. I've gone through a lot of conferences, and especially I've seen the heartbreak of so many couples as they've sat in my office and they've told me their story of how they've torpedoed their relationship. And so I can serve as a road sign on that fork in the road, and I can say, don't go down that road. You don't like what's at the end of that road. The importance of slowing down and seeking advice. Guys, this is all over the book of Proverbs. Like in chapter 19, it says, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Proverbs 11, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Proverbs 24, a wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance. And for victory, many advisors. Proverbs 15, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 12, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. If I'm Solomon's son, I'm like, Dad, I get it. Apparently, Solomon had no qualms about repeating himself. He was totally okay with just constantly repeating himself, so maybe I shouldn't feel so bad when I do it. But he says, son, listen, you will not regret slowing down and taking the time to talk through this decision with some wise counselors. Because you see, in the heat of the moment, when we're caught up in all the emotion, in all the stress and pressure of the situation, often in that moment, we can only see what's right in front of us. But like the ravens did for the Vikings 1,000 years ago, a wise counselor can bring a different perspective. They can see what we don't see. They can bring a perspective we maybe never even thought of. Church, we need each other. That is why our Savior commands that we should do life in community. In fact, something many other pastors and church leaders have said, I did not invent this, so many pastors have said this, but they've kind of said that every Christian needs three types of relationships. We should all have a Paul, we should all have a Barnabas, and we should all have a Timothy. What do we mean by that? Well, by Paul, I mean everyone needs a mentor, a teacher, a wise elder who is speaking into your life. Who is that voice speaking into your life? See, the Apostle Paul, he trained up a lot of young pastors to serve as leaders of the churches that he had planted. And I'm telling you guys, it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how smart you are, everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a coach. You don't believe me? I will prove it to you, okay? Let's use this example, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, I would argue, is the GOAT. He is the greatest basketball player of all time. MJ, his royal airness. He was awesome. And if you don't believe me, if you disagree with me, we can chat in the foyer afterward and I will prove to you that you're wrong. Michael Jordan had 6 NBA championships under his belt. He had 5 MVPs. He averaged 30 points per game. And yeah, LeBron has more career points than him. But Jordan only played for 15 seasons. LeBron's got 21 seasons and going. I think Jordan would have surpassed him if he kept going. But here's the deal, guys. Michael Jordan, even Michael Jordan needed a coach. It was Dean Smith when he was at North Carolina, and then it was Phil Jackson when he was with the Chicago Bulls. I heard this story about Michael Jordan's rookie year. And as a rookie, he won Rookie of the Year, and he was just phenomenal. He was just way better than anyone else in the league. All the commentators were just going on and on about just the raw talent that this guy had. But Phil Jackson pulled him aside one day. He's like, Michael, you're the best player in the league. You might be the best player of all time. You're going to go places. But let me give you some advice. True greatness is a leader who knows how to elevate the entire team instead of just himself. And Jordan took that advice seriously. And that is why he's got 6 championship rings on his finger. Because he believed his coach. Guys, we all need a coach. But not only do we need a coach, but we also need a Barnabas. Now, by that I mean that every follower of Christ needs a teammate, a partner, a friend. Barnabas was a co-worker of the Apostle Paul, a fellow missionary worker. And Barnabas, I don't know if you know this, it wasn't even his real name. That was his nickname. It means encourager. And guys, we all need a voice like that in our life. Someone who just, you know, is kind of like a cheerleader. They're like, we can do this. We all need a friend walking with us on the journey that says, keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up. Let's do this. And then the third relationship that we need eventually is a Timothy. And by this, I mean a student, a pupil, someone that we are pouring into. Timothy was one of the young pastors that the Apostle Paul was coaching. And so, yes, we all need a coach, but at some point we have to transition where we become the coach for someone else. That we take someone who's kind of a brand new follower of Jesus and they're just new on this discipleship journey, and we say, hey, I've been walking this road for a while. Let me come alongside you and help you out. It's why here at Summit Church, and you've probably noticed in the last few years, we've really poured into the internship and residency program, because Stephen and I looked at each other, we're like, we're in our 40s, dude. And we've learned a few things. Maybe it's time we start investing in the next generation of pastors. Okay, that was a bit of a detour, but let's get back to our text. Let's get back to our text. Proverbs chapter 1. And so King Solomon, he's explaining, hey, to make good, healthy, wise decisions, we all need to seek advice. But our friend Solomon doesn't end there. We need to keep reading. We're up to verse 10. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. Church, as we are trying to discover the best path to walk this life, friends, something you're going to realize is that there are other voices that are trying to lead us down the wrong path, a destructive path that ends in pain, regret, shame, and loss. You see, King Solomon tries to warn us, not all advice is equally true or valuable. It's not just about seeking advice. It's about seeking wise, good, godly advice. Not all guidance is good. Not all advice is godly. Not all counsel is true or helpful or biblical or valuable. As they do in verse 13, some voices will promise us happiness, but the end of that road is sorrow. Or sometimes, can I just go ahead and keep it real this morning? Sometimes we're in the middle of a decision and we will intentionally seek out people we know are going to just tell us what we want to hear. Like, oh, I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to talk to you. So, for example, let's just pretend there's this guy and he's having some marriage problems. You know, they're newly married and they're kind of still in that newlywed stage. And man, they're fighting all the time. They're just getting in all these heated disagreements. It just seems like they're constantly missing each other. And he's had a rough week, and so on Saturday, he goes golfing with his two buddies. And while they're out golfing, he starts to lament about all his marriage problems, and guess what? They're like, oh, let me tell you what you need to do. And they start telling him what he wants to hear. They're like, well, it's all her. She's the problem, obviously. You know, you're the victim here, man. Like you can do better than her. She's being unreasonable. You should just leave that icy, cold, terrible woman. You can find someone so much better than her. And in the moment, in from his perspective, he's like, yeah, that's good advice. You're right. I should just drop her. But if you slow down to think about it, these two guys giving him advice, one of them is on his third divorce. And the other one, man, his marriage is 10 times worse than his is. It's like, if he stopped to think about it, he'd be like, why am I listening to you two? Friends, just because it makes us feel better in the moment does not make it good advice. It is so easy to ignore the biblical principles when it comes to seeking godly wisdom. I think Proverbs 13 says it well. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, we become the people we spend time with. And if you're getting all your advice from fools, do not be surprised if you start making foolish decisions and then regret it. Scripture says that is what is going to happen. It's just a principle of life. Like it or not, you hang out with fools, you start to act like fools. Now, obviously, don't misunderstand me. We all need friends. We all need buddies that we can just kind of vent to once in a while. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying there are times that we need to seek wise, godly counselors. So when we're looking for a wise counselor, what kind of qualities are we going to look for? What would be the ideal coach, the ideal mentor or teacher? Well, I think the books of 1 Timothy and Titus, they have these lists that outline the qualifications of an elder. If you're going to be an elder of in a church, these are the types of things you need to be. And these would be pretty good guidelines for us. Now, being an elder isn't necessarily tied to your age, but it's often pretty closely related. And based on those passages, here are four things I think we all should look for when we're looking for an ideal coach to speak into your life. So, for instance, an ideal coach would be spiritually mature. Someone who's been following Jesus for quite a while. They're not new on this journey. They're pretty far in the journey. But also, at the same time, we want to find someone who is a person of integrity. Someone with a godly character that we respect. They don't just talk the talk. They really walk the walk. And then also an ideal coach would have the wisdom of experience. You know, sometimes we're going to talk to someone and we're talking about our situation and they're like, I know exactly what you're talking about because I was there 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I stood at that exact same crossroads. I know what it's like to be at that crossroads. And sometimes maybe they took the wrong road. Maybe they made a bad choice. But still, we can learn from their experience and say, man, I don't want to go that way. That's wisdom. And then the final one I put on here, I kind of added, but it's just common sense. You need to talk to someone who's got the skill or expertise in the field that you need advice on. I mean, this is kind of obvious, but like if, you know, you should come talk to Pastor William if you need some help on how to, you know, get the most out of your Bible study. Do not call me if you need help working on your car, okay? Bad idea. You do not want me to take a wrench and pop the hood and start monkeying around in there. That's not a good idea. But friends, here's the best wisdom I can share on finding a spiritual coach. I don't think I have this in your notes, but you might want to write this down. Find someone who is today where you want to be someday. This is what I want to look for in a coach. Find someone who already is today where I want to be someday. So, for example, if I'm looking for some financial advice, I'm not going to ask advice of my roommate who is in, you know, $10,000 of credit card debt. No, instead, I'm going to find someone that it's like, man, they know what they're doing. They're making good decisions. They're financially secure. I'm going to pull them aside and say, how did you get here? What did you do? What principles do I need to learn about money? Or let's say, for example, that you're struggling with parenting. And if you're a parent, we're all struggling. So yes, instead of just complaining with the rest of us, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just making it up as I go. And we all feel that way. We should seek some wise counsel. Something Amber and I did years ago is we sought out some people. We kind of made a little list of some people that we knew who were strong followers of Jesus, that they had adult children that all turned out great. And all their adult children were wise and had strong faith and had, you know, made wise choices in their marriages and that kind of thing. So we went to these people with adult kids and we're like, okay, you did it well. What did you do? Be my Yoda. Be my Mr. Miyagi. How do you parent? We don't know what we're doing. What was your kind of parenting philosophy? You know, when it comes to discipline, how did you discipline? When it comes to those different stages and phases in a childhood development, what do you do in each phase? Church, not all advice is made equal. Ask someone who is today who you want to become tomorrow. Okay, we're almost done, but let's finish the passage. And if you're following along, jump ahead to verse 22. So in this kind of second half of the chapter, King Solomon is speaking on behalf of wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, he kind of personifies wisdom, kind of like this beautiful woman, and he says, son, you should find her and fall in love with her and listen to her. So Proverbs 1, verse 22, wisdom says this. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? It's not wrong to be simple, but how long are you going to just stay simple? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Now pause for a moment. It says, no one gave heed. Now that's a term we probably don't use a lot in everyday language, but if you're a parent, you know the difference between hearing and heeding. If you've ever yelled out at the top of the stairs to your children, it's time for dinner. If they just keep on playing a video game, they heard you. If they come running up the stairs, they heeded you. You see the difference? Verse 29. Since they hated knowledge and they did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, to wisdom, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now this probably goes without saying, but I put it in the notes, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. Wisdom is useless if it isn't heeded in humility. Beloved, Solomon says it is as if wisdom is crying out to you. Her voice is shouting out, I'm speaking to you. I'm trying to speak to you through the Bible. I'm trying to speak to you through your parents, through your life group. The other day you had coffee with that older, wiser follower of Jesus that you so deeply respect. And all of them are telling you the same thing, but then you proceeded to ignore them all and reject my advice. I long to give you a fruitful life, a flourishing life, but you have chosen to plant thorns instead. Guys, taking the time to hear God's wisdom, it is pointless if we don't take it seriously. As it says in James 1, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. Apply it, heed it, follow it. And you know what keeps us from hearing the voice of wisdom most of the time? I would say 9 times out of 10, pride. No, you nailed it. 10 points. Pride. Because we hear that voice of wisdom, but what do? We cross our arms and say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? I know what I'm doing. Are you trying to tell me I'm not smart? Are you trying to tell me that I'm not spiritual? I know what I'm doing. I can figure, yeah, you made all those mistakes, but I'm not going to make those same mistakes. Pride. Pride is like this voluntary deafness. And so, guys, what we need to do instead, according to Solomon, if we want to experience the fruit of wisdom, we need to develop teachability. Teachability. I am convinced this is one of the most overlooked virtues in the Christian walk, but it's something every follower of Jesus needs to develop. And I don't care if you're a brand new follower of Jesus and you're 18 years old, or if you're 82 and have been following him for 60 years, if we remain teachable, ready to learn and grow, admit when we are wrong, never assume we're done, we've arrived. Friends, it is that teachable attitude that enables God to lead us to the destination he has prepared ahead for us. It is that teachable heart that leads to the good life, the fruitful life. Let me close with this. I read this news story from back in March of 2015. There was this couple that they were on a road trip, you know, going through the busy streets of Indiana, and they were on their way to Chicago. And they were following directions from their GPS, like most of us do today, you know? We don't look at a map, we just, whatever the GPS says, we follow them. They know what they're doing, so they're turning left, turning right, getting on this road, taking this highway. And as they're following the instructions of this digital counselor, they suddenly experience this confusing moment. Because they get off on this exit, and all of a sudden they see on the road ahead of them, there are these concrete barriers blocking the way. They're like, what's the deal? So they stop and they're looking at the concrete barriers, and it's not completely across the road. It's just part of the road has these concrete barriers. And then there's this sign on the side of the road that says road closed, but it's not like clearing in the middle. It's like on the side and kind of turned to the side. And they're like, is that still the case? Is the road closed? Is this road closed or not? And they're sitting there trying to decide, and the GPS is saying, take this exit, take this exit, take this exit. And then as they're trying to decide, they're like kind of on this two-lane road, and another car comes down going the other way. Start seeing a line of cars going this way, and they're like, oh, it's not closed. Look, there's other cars coming this way. So they pulled on to the bridge, and they kept driving, and moments later, their Nissan Sentra plunged 38 feet off this broken bridge. Because, yes, they had repaired one of the lanes, but this lane still ended in midair. And when their car hit the ground, it burst into flames, and tragically, the 51-year-old wife perished in the wreckage. I can't imagine living with the consequences of what seems like such a small decision. But the consequences of that decision were huge, because they chose to listen to the wrong voice. Beloved, in this life, we're going to stand at many crossroads. And there is going to be a chorus of voices whispering to our ears. And there are going to be some voices that say, no, 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 go this path, take this way. This way is so much easier. This way is so much faster. This way is more enjoyable. Trust me, go this way. But the wise follower of Jesus has learned to hear and heed his master's voice, spoken through the tried and tested elder, leading down that narrow path toward life. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your goodness, and we thank you that you want us to make good decisions and be spared so much heartache in this life. And so, Lord, one of the good gifts you've given us is each other. And there are many wise and experienced people in our community of faith that, man, they've been down this road before. So, Lord, I pray that, first of all, you would forgive us for our pride. Forgive us that we've allowed our ego to get in the way, and we have just kind of spurned the good godly wisdom that has come through others. Lord, instead, I pray that we would intentionally seek out godly wisdom from people who want what's best for us and who know those roads well. And may we not only hear, but may we heed the voice of wisdom coming through those you sent to guide us. We love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your mighty name. And all God's people agreed together and said, amen. Amen.